New Year's resolutions. Does anyone in here still do? No, no, no. Okay. Still working on last year's? Yep. So there was a lady, and she told her friend that, you know, she was doing a New Year's resolution, and she had two of them. And the two were to lose weight and to stop fighting with her husband. She said, I've been fighting with my husband so much recently, I lost 20 pounds. And the lady, her friend said, I didn't know you guys were fighting that bad. Like, why don't you get counseling? She goes, I need to lose another 15 pounds. She's not going to stop till she loses another 15 pounds. Then there was a man who had a New Year's resolution, and he decided for his resolution that he was going to be very kind when he gets these texts from his wife about all the problems that are taking place, right? Like, this, so he gets these texts. So he's like, okay. And he was very short on getting back to his wife with the text. So he wakes up early one morning and it's cold, and he goes and goes to work. And a little bit later, he gets a text from his wife because it's a cold morning. And the text says, windows frozen. Windows are frozen. Windows frozen. So he said, okay. So he's being very kind with his text back. He said, well, get some lukewarm water and dump it down the sides of the windows and start tapping them just gently to loosen it up. Very kind and considerate. About 5 minutes later, he gets the text back and said, now the computer's really messed up. So he didn't define what the right window was, right? So anyway. All right, now Jim gave me this joke this morning. This is a Jim joke, okay? What do you get when you cross, and I'll tell you, it's like mega small print. Jim, could you read that when you saw that this morning? So what do you get when you cross a snowman with a vampire? Frostbite. Okay, you get a frostbite. So we have New Year's resolutions and we have a new year. I always love New Year's resolutions, more like a goal list. I used to be really detailed on my goal list, and I still put them together. But I stepped back and I mentioned the last couple weeks about I hijacked a title from a pastor that I've been listening to, and it's about faith. And he was talking about the language of God is faith. And I never heard it put that way before. And I was like, man, that's really cool let's look at that. So I wanted to look at faith, and I wanted to look at January this morning, or January, that we're going to kind of just dive into faith. And we're going to step back and look at the faith chapter next week, and we'll be going into that on Hebrews 11. Hebrews 10, we're going to kind of set the vision of the faith that we're talking about. So, if the language of God is faith, the title of today's message, I was kind of all over, like ADD. I couldn't figure out and just get the right title together of where I wanted to go, and it's changed around in my mind a million times of faith, because I love studying and I love looking at faith, and every time you look at it, you know, and faith in reality is a very simple thing, right? It should be a very simple thing as we as believers should understand, but yet it's so hard, right? It's so hard to do, so I wanted to set the stage. So what does God see when it comes to faith? Right, we need to make the right moves as people to when we're talking about faith. So what does God see? And we're going to start in Hebrews 11, or Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And we will be jumping around slightly on some references, and I'll give you the references. But we're going to start with Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says, 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. So as a church, I always like when we see that encourage, right? Because my vision for the church is still very much behind what we talked about with the name. Encourage people. Encourage people to come to Christ. Encourage people to live out what Scripture teaches. And faith is part of that. So when we look at these two verses to start off, it's consider. And this last month, you know, I've really been considering. So when we talk about to consider, it's like you look at something. It's you step back and you contemplate and you're considering like something, right? So that's where my mind's been. I've been considering church. I've been considering God. I've been considering my, you know, stuff that's going on in my life, and a lot of considering and thought. Consider things. So this morning I wanted to consider this month of faith. That's what we were considering. That's what we're looking at. We're supposed to spur one another on toward love, good deeds, and encourage one another. So with faith, have you ever been around somebody that's super faithful? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like these people that are, like, they draw you in just because of their faith aspect. They have so much faith on what God can do that they just kind of, peels off of them. It's kind of like you see, you know, they're just very faithful people. There's a story I read a couple of years ago. There was a Muslim man who was going into the military, and he was Muslim, was born Muslim, was actually from the descending line of Muhammad, and he was had to go into the military. He didn't want to go into the military, but forced to go into the military. So he went into the military, and as he got to the base late, he, in this country, there was a freedom of religion to some extent, right? So he found out that he had to room in the dorm, that there was a man in there that was a Christian. And this guy, like, I can't be in his room. Like, I can't be with him. He's dirty. I can't be with this man, right? That's what he was thinking. And I've listened to this story, and I bought the book because it's such an amazing book. But anyhow, the story goes on to say, as he was in the military, he watched this guy and his roommate, who was a Christian, and he didn't know much of Christians other than they were dirty and that they believed in multiple gods, and they needed to be, you know, the world needed to be cleansed of Christian people. But he watched this guy. And he wouldn't associate with him at first, and he wouldn't even like be near in the same room. Like, you stay on that side, I'll stay on this side. But he watched him, and he watched that this guy, this Christian man, had faith. And as time went on, he saw this guy's faith in Jesus, and he was like, there's something there that I'm missing. There's something there in my religion from stemming to Allah, that I'm missing something. And he started to ask questions to this man, this Christian man, and it all stemmed from his faith. The guy's faith was strong, and it pulled this man in to see this faith that this guy had. Well, here, as the story goes, and it goes into, he accepted Christ, and did accept Christ, and his family, so he's a descendant of Muhammad. And his family then started to hunt him down. And it goes through the story of his life, how he had to escape, where he, once they found out he was a Christian, how he had to flee the countries because the family was searching him down to kill him. This whole story of this man that came to Christ simply because he watched another man's faith living out, taking place. That faith is what I want to concentrate on, at least in January. Maybe all year. I don't know where it's going to go. But I just know I want to concentrate on faith. Because if we can do anything with our life, and if we can have that faith coming out of our life, that's the goal for me this year. I want to have people see a person, a guy that has faith. That type of faith. So if we start looking at that, and then we're going to jump into Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 38. It says this. I'm sorry, we're going to start in Hebrews. Yeah, I'm going to jump here. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. We're going to stay there. For he who performed, who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So we're still hitting that, right? But then let us consider and let us encourage one another in these things. So that's encouraging one another is where we still want to be. Now we're going to jump over to Hebrews 10:38. Hebrews 10:38 says this. We're going to start. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, now we'll go to 38. He who is coming will come and will not delay. Verse 38. But my righteous one will live by faith. But my righteous one will live by faith. So as I started to break down and think about the language of God, you start to think about faith. It says here that the righteous one will live by faith. So who's that righteous one? So you can't live by faith unless you're righteous. It says the righteous one will live by faith. So if the righteous one lives by faith, how do I get to be righteous so I can live that faith out? Does that make sense? Because that's what Scripture says. Scripture says, we just read it. But my righteous one will live by faith. And then the end of the verse says, and if he shrinks back, he will not be pleased with him. So it talks about if we have faith, if you're righteous, if you're the righteous one, you're living by faith. That's how we're supposed to be living. Okay? My head started there. I wanted to peel that back of how do I be righteous? How can I be righteous? Right? Doesn't that make sense? Like if we were supposed to be living by faith, it says that the righteous one lives by faith. So if you're not, so what does God see? God sees two things, and we know this. God sees, and we're going to look at it, because this then goes also to Habakkuk 2 verse 4, and the prophet Habakkuk, when he's talking about this, and we're going to step into that verse where it first stemmed from, was this prophet, Habakkuk. He was frustrated. He was, and like we talked about Paul last week, who was frustrated. Habakkuk the same way. So this prophet, you remember that we hear about it with Job a lot, but we don't hear about it with Habakkuk. Job, you know how he sits there and talks to God and complains? Right? And we know that story of where God then comes to Job. The same thing was with Habakkuk. So, and we'll jump over there. Actually, Habakkuk 2, we're going to start in, I'm going to start in chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm just going to read the first four verses just to kind of set this out with Habakkuk. So he was a prophet. And he's speaking to God. He says, how long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or I cry out to you violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Does that sound like something you've ever said? When I read that, you think about that, it's, I think about, man, that's, we can see that going on in our world, can't we? How many times we're like, Lord, we're supposed to be faithful, and then we see all this wickedness taking place, and wicked people, men and women, and nations of wickedness are rising up, and it seems like the faithful people are just being pushed down and crushed, but the wickedness is continuing to grow and prosper. It does. I mean, that's what I see when I look out there and I listen to stuff. I see things and I see people. I'm like, what in the world's going on? Habakkuk, this prophet, was saying the same thing, and he called out and he said, God, what's going on? And he was frustrated and he was kind of mad. And then we get to where God comes out. And I love when God speaks and you can see it in the written word. And this is what God said. Habakkuk 2:4. He says, see, and let me start in verse 2. The Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. So God's saying that this stuff will not delay. And then God says this. Because he's talking about, see, he is puffed up. He's talking about a nation or a people that are puffed up and very proud. He is puffed up. His desires are not upright. That word, not upright. But the righteous, and here we see it. But the righteous will live by his faith. That's where we want to be. The righteous will live by his faith. Okay, Jeff, how can I be righteous? And we go back and we talked about this maybe last week. We talked about in Genesis, we talked about Noah, right? When God looked down and God said, I am so, why did I make these people? Why did I create these people? I want to take them all out, right? God's words. I want to destroy them all. Destroy everything I created that I looked at and was good, and I want to take them all out. And that was Genesis 6:9. And when we see that, and I'm going to read it because I like talking right from Scripture, and it says in 6:9, it says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. So Noah was righteous. Okay, so he was he walking in faith? He was righteous. He was a righteous man. Okay, I got that. Then I started to look at, okay, what else do we see about righteous people? And then I go back and also I wanted to start out was a guy named Cain, right? You all know the story of Cain and Abel. In Genesis 4:6-7, it gives this account. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? To do the right thing, to be righteous. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? And then God continues to talk to Cain and says, but if you do not do what is right, and God sees it. The two things he sees the faith of people and he sees the goodness and he sees wicked. And it's, but if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Okay. This thing of faith, this thing of the righteous will live by faith. We see it in the beginning of time in Genesis about these righteous people. And now we see the Habakkuk who's, and God back and says, the righteous will live by their faith. How can I be righteous? Because we can't live by faith. It says the righteous will live. If I'm not righteous, I can't really live by faith, right? That's what I'm seeing in Scripture, that if I'm not right, the righteous live by faith. Some people might think, well, I do so good stuff. I help people. I give money to the poor. I'm involved in my community, and I do some really good things, right? I step out on faith to help these people that are hurting. But are you righteous? Is it the faith that God's talking about? Are we living the righteous way? The righteous live by faith. So as the timeline of God, right, we see the timeline of God, and we know that in the New Testament, when we're talking in Hebrew, in Hebrews, that different timeline than it was in the Old Testament. It is. So Noah, like, he was righteous in God's eyes, and that was even before the law was given, right? So that was like before anything was even written down. So he was righteous. Cain, and saying, God says, Cain, do the right thing here. If you do the right thing, you'll be accepted. And so that's where the start. Now we're in the New Testament, and the New Testament calls out that if we're to do the right thing, how are we to do that right thing? Because we know through Scripture that the Israelis and the Israelite people and those that converted over to Judaism at the time, they all had to follow what to be righteous. They had to follow the law. But the law, then, that's what made them righteous. And they had to do the sacrifices and they had to come in and do all this stuff. Now, in today's world, in the church, you're going to say the church age, and you talk about all the time life. Today in the church, our modern society, since the time of Christ, since Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again, that changed the timeline for us. So for us, how can we be righteous? That was my question. How can I do this? Because God sees the wickedness. God sees righteousness. And if the language of God is truly faith, I want to speak that. I want to communicate with God. Just like how God looked down and saw Noah, how God communicated with Cain, how God looked as we walk through Scripture, and we're going to get into that in chapter 11, chapter 11 is a great faith chapter. How can we get that faith? Well, we can't get that faith until we're righteous. Until we're righteous. How do we get righteous? Romans 5:19 says this. Woe to him who says, I'm sorry, I was not five, I'm back in Habakkuk. Romans 5:19 is this. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, so disobedience of one man, that many were made sinners, which we know through Adam, right? That Adam started the ball rolling with sin of the disobedience. So also through the obedience of one man that many will be made righteous. Okay. We as people can't be righteous today and have the faith that we're supposed to be walking towards unless we have the righteousness of Christ first. So as people, what we see is the righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. If I'm now as a believer and I'm in our society today and I'm a Christian and I've held to Jesus Christ being my Savior, dying on the cross, buried, and accepting me through, covered by His blood that God sees, because God sees wickedness and God sees righteousness, right? Those two things. I can't be right. You can't be right. People today cannot be right until we come to Christ. So today in our church, the modern society, we can't live by faith until first we're righteous, because the righteous live by faith. Does this make sense? Because this was really like turning my head up. So the end of the day is this. I can't live by faith until I'm a believer, right? Once you're a believer, then you're covered in this righteousness. It's not like it was for early Israel who had to follow. It's not like it was when God looked down and saw Noah and said, he's a righteous dude. It's not how it was. Now, for me to want to have that faith that we're going to see in chapter 11, the faith chapter, I cannot do it. You cannot do it. People in our world all around us cannot do it until they become righteous. The only way to be today, covered over by. Once that happens, then we become right. We know that. But now we become righteous. God looks at us. He sees wickedness and he sees righteousness. He still knows we're stupid people and ignorant and all the other stuff and that we make mistakes. But with grace and everything else, he knows that we now are, we're walking and we're covered Christ. That doesn't mean we continue to live a sinful, which we are. We can get through that. We can't continue to live a sinful lifestyle if we want to walk with Christ and be righteous, right? That's where I look at this and say, just like that guy, the Muslim man who looked at his guy he hated, but what attracted him to Christ, to not the Christian religion, but what attracted him to Jesus wasn't his shoes. It wasn't his, man, he has a nice Bible. It wasn't his, traditions. It was simply he watched a man that was righteous because this guy was what? He was a believer. He was righteous. And the righteous man was walking in faith. And as he walked in faith, the Muslim man saw that and there's something different there. And that faith came off of this guy. It came off of this Christian as he walked and as he studied and as he prayed. And as he communicated with, and as the actions of the faith that was in him would come out, help other people, because in the book, this Christian guy was beat up and brutalized as well. But he watched him and watched him and watched him and watched how this Christian man's faith, and that's what drew him to Christ. So, how, this year, how can we do that? How can I do that better? That was my, for me, it was a question for me. Jeff, consider this. And I was considering as I looked at this year rolling forward. I'm considering, I heard that the language of God is faith, which is cool. because I want to connect better with God. So if the language of God is faith, and we're going to see it in Hebrews 11, and we're going to look at, which we've been through, I want to try to dig deeper into just to really focus in on these faith giants, that's who we need to be looking towards. That's, we want to be like those faithful people. How can we walk that way? Not saying, well, I'm going to walk this way and I want people to think that I'm walking a certain, how can we walk that way? How can I truly put my life on the carpet and say, this is my life. I'm walking in faith. I'm a righteous one, and the righteous, because I'm covered by Christ's blood. I'm righteous, not from like a judgmental standpoint or anything else, but how can we be righteous? To live by that faith, that faith can grab us, that faith will determine how we run our life day to day, minute by minute, when times are hard, when times are great, when we're talking to people, when we're other people, whatever it may be, how can our faith ooze out of us that people see this faith? Because we have to be the righteous walk by faith. So if we're righteous, if you're a believer, then we be walking by faith. Right? With us as believers. If not, then we shrink back and we saw, you know, that God's not about people shrinking back. We need to move forward. So I look at our church. And I talked about, so that's kind of my goal this year. I don't, you know, because I've been considering a lot. Like, don't you step back and just consider things? And so I had a birthday. I know it's, you know, I know I don't look like day over 40, but I'm a little bit over 40 now. So I just, you know, 57. So I had a birthday, and you start to get as you get older, you start to like, okay, where do I need to go? You start planning out a little different, don't you? Right? So I'm thinking to myself, okay, how many years? So as I said before, my goal is to be 100 and dropping my cake and kids eat, the great grandkids eat the cake around me as I'm laying in the cake. Right? I think that would be very cool. Probably very disgusting. But I think that would be like, what a way to go out. So from now until I get that cake, how can I live the best faithful life for my God as possible? Okay, I mean, made mistakes, we all do, and I'll make more, God knows that. But how can I live? How can I live that righteous life that the righteous live by faith? I'm a believer. Christ has made me righteous in that I'm covered by his blood in that righteousness. So the righteous live by faith. Now we're going to step in the next couple of weeks and look at this faith. And hopefully we can say to ourselves, we can get one little nugget to say, hey, I can apply to my life to help me with my faithfulness, my faith walk with God. That's the goal, right? That's the goal. So, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for just being able to study your word freely, Lord. I pray for us as a church that we will become more passionate in our faith. Lord, help us with our faith that we can look out and know and step, even when things are hard in our life, even when we don't understand things, but we know that we're righteous because we're covered by your blood, that we're forgiven of our sins, and that we can take these steps of faith that might not make sense to other people, that people might think maybe we're a little off or nuts or whatever it is, but that we're walking in faith, that you're giving us this direction and that we see the direction you want us to go, and that we're not scared to step down that trail, down that path, because we're walking in faith, Lord. Help us to understand those things and help us in the next couple of weeks as we look at some of these great men and women of Scripture who have been so faithful to you. And help us just to get a little piece of that in our life. And I pray for that. In your name we pray. Amen.